Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
A very warm welcome to the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin Ivan.
Welcome back, mate.
Found my voice again.
Well done.
I was getting quite upset, like reading social media, people saying, "What's up, Willem? It's just a bit of man flu."
Yeah.
And I was at home.
Well, you know what it was? It coincided with Burns Night. That's what everyone's theory was.
It was known as the whiskey absence. I was pretty grim. 2 weeks without speaking. I did think at one point I would never be able to make a noise again. Have a little second thinking about that. It's grim. How do you communicate?
It's mixed horrific. Bag, isn't it?
You know, I couldn't shout at the kids with ferocious volume. But it's great to be back, and thank you very much for listening to the Evening Show podcast.
Thanks to Ross and to Dan as well for who filled in for us.
Yeah, the Gas Man and Ross Buchanan. What a combination. Sounds like quite a formidable wrestling partnership. Ross Buchanan and the Gas Man. Anyway, we've got a packed Evening Show podcast for you. James Bay, with his great hat and his silky long hair, he was on the Evening Show.
New single.
And a Newcastle United back. Fan. He is back. And Pixies was our classic album on Monday, Doolittle, which took me back to 1989. I really remember that as a moment in life. So have a little listen to this Evening Show podcast, plus all the music stories doing the rounds around the world. Here's the podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm thrilled to say that I'm joined by an Ivor Novello winner, platinum selling, gold selling, multi-talented, very young man, James Bay. Pleasure to see you, young man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Nice to be here.
Now, James, listen, we've talked you up there, Ivor Novello's and all the big things that have happened in the last 3 or 4 years. So we could talk about all the great things, but I want to know about the worst gig you've played.
The worst gig?
What makes your blood run cold?
The worst gig I've played? I did a really nice little show for WaterAid about 18 months ago. It was a solo show in a 200 cap theatre, really nice, intimate, small little place, and it was just me on my own. So, and I hadn't really rehearsed.
Let's get down to the real reason for it.
Right, because I figured, like, yeah. I know these tunes, I've been touring them for like 4 years.
Yeah.
And I've played Let It Go, and it's a really intimate, delicate song. And in the middle eight is the first place that the chords really change. It lands on this chord, and I just, not only did I get the wrong chord, but I landed on a chord that was just in completely the wrong key. And I just stopped.
Being brutally honest about it, right? I want you to be really honest. If you had to rate yourself out of 10 as how professional you are when it comes to rehearsal and being sensible with your voice, going to bed early the night before, how good are you?
Be brutally honest, I'm somewhere around like a 7 or 8.
Right.
Which is good. Not very rock and roll, I know.
Oh, I was going to say that. It's quite rock and roll, actually.
Well, I think rock and roll is like if you're a 3.
Right, okay.
Right, because you're out partying every night. Yeah, but like, it just matters to me to put on a great show.
Yeah.
And I say that, and then I tell you the story. I just tell you it didn't quite add up. I know, but like, it's just one of those moments.
You've got a new single. The reason you're here is to talk about that. And you've laid bare your soul on this song, I think, haven't you? Wild Love. I think it doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to work out.
Right.
There's a lot's happened in 3 years for you. So are you talking about relationships in the last 3 years? Or are we going back before found fame?
I'm talking about relationships like I do in a lot of songs. At this time. So this song is about, it's a bit of a love at first sight thing.
Mm.
And that happens to people. They catch and lock eyes with someone across a room for the first time, and it's magic, and everything that follows is fantastic and all that. And for some people, that might actually happen more than once with the same person.
Mm-hmm.
I went and travelled and toured for 4 or 5 years, and my girlfriend didn't get to come with me because she has her own life and her own job.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always that constant sort of tug of like, you know, I'm away having a great time, but I don't get to be with her.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I've had that whole experience with her in the past, that amazing euphoria, that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess, you know, so I get back, and you don't know how it's going to be, but that kind of thing happened.
Yeah.
So there was something to say there. And while a lot of songs that I write have a bit more anxiety and mm-hmm. kind of they're a bit more sort of delicate and tender and a little bit more sort of heartbroken, this song has a bit of that because it's never straightforward.
Yeah.
Nothing, no relationship is. But it was just meant to be a celebration of that euphoric feeling.
Yeah, we had Brandon Flowers from The Killers in recently.
Wow.
And he talked about getting permission from his girlfriend, his wife, to write a song like that and share it with his fans. Did you ask for permission or is that something you do?
I don't actually ask.
Right, yeah.
In fairness, but she'll hear it before anyone.
Right.
And if I don't really get the greatest reaction, then it says enough.
Yeah.
To be honest. So I try and gauge it at least.
Would you like to do the honours and introduce it right now on Radio X?
Sure thing. This is James Bay, this is my new single. This is called Wild Love.
Radio.
Radio
X. The Radio. X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
For the pedants listening, it's an accident every time I say the Pixies. I always mean Pixies. It's just an accident. So, Pixies' Doolittle, second album, released in April 1989, nearly 29 years ago. Widely regarded as the Pixies' best work, alongside the first album, Surfer Rosa. In 2003, get on this, NME ranked Doolittle as the second greatest album of all time. It really is held in very high regard. It went to number 8 in the UK, two amazing singles, Monkey Gone to Heaven and Here Comes Your Man. But the album tracks were just as famous, became hugely popular too. Debaser, Wave of Mutilation and Hey. Black Francis, one of rock and roll's awkward characters, I think it's safe to say, started writing most of the songs whilst the band were touring Surfer Rosa. And the band recorded demos on John Peel's famous radio show. The producer was Gil Norton. He had a big impact on the record. All the fans of Echo and the Bunnymen will know that Gil Norton played a huge part in their sound. And he was suggested to the band, so kept the songs clean, more precise than the previous album, and learned how to work with that mercurial character, Black Francis, a notoriously difficult chap. In a Rolling Stone interview, Francis later recalled that this record is him trying to make us, shall I say, commercial, and us trying to remain somewhat grungy. Black Francis argued for the songs to be short and punchy, and he even brought the producer a copy of Buddy Holly's greatest hits to make the point that two-minute songs could work, and a lot of bands have followed on from that example. The loud and quiet arrangements, so going suddenly from loud, distorted sounds to quiet, melodic parts. It's been very influential. Think about Kurt Cobain. He noticed similarities after he wrote Smells Like Teen Spirit, and I think he said something along the lines of, really sounds like Pixies, people are really going to nail us for this. The tensions were massive at the time between Black Francis and bassist Kim Deal, and it became a massive problem around this time, arguments erupting around all the recordings, and Black Francis stopped her writing and singing on the next Pixies album. Lovely. Eventually their relationship fell apart and the band split up in 1992, but the music that was made on this album still lives just as strongly today. It's superb stuff. So I'm going to play two songs from that classic album, Doolittle. This is Pixies, two back to back, Here Comes Your Man and The Amazing Debaser.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
That was class. Classic album tonight, Pixies' Doolittle, 1989, 29 years ago. You just heard Debaser. The lyrics are based on a surrealist film by Louis Buñuel, I think that's the correct pronunciation, and Salvador Dali called Un Chien Andalou. That's where the slicing up eyeballs line comes from. Before that, I played Here Comes Your Man, which was the second single on the album, but actually a much, much older song. It was on Pixies' original 87 demo. But Black Francis had been reluctant to release it. He'd written it as a 14-year-old, can you believe that? But felt it was too straight and too poppy. The band called it their Tom Petty song, inspired by an REM song, and the lyrics were about California earthquakes and the calm that comes before them. Black Francis said, animals stop talking and birds stop chirping and there's no wind. It's very ominous. A bit like him, really. The working title for the album was a derogatory rude word that I can't say on radio, before the name was changed to Doolittle. Black Francis had explained, I thought people were going to think I was some kind of anti-Catholic or that I'd been raised Catholic and trying to get into this Catholic naughty boy stuff. So that was the thinking behind it. So the name came from a lyric in an album track called Mr. Greaves. Remember this? Pretty sure that's been in a couple of films, actually. I'll have to go and check which ones. Doolittle was the first album where the Pixies' cover photographer and the band's cover artist, that's back when bands had things like that, both of them had access to the lyrics, so that meant the album was full. The booklet was full with surrealist and abstract images throughout. So a bit of Dali, a bit of that, as you can imagine, very arty and very, very cool. What an album. Well, that was tonight's classic album, Pixies and Doolittle.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was James Bay, Best Fake Smile. I'm Gordon Smart. You're listening to The Evening Show. James is here, aren't you, James?
Yeah, man.
Thinking back to that song, does it seem like a long time ago now? Because I'd imagine days seem like weeks when you're right in the heart of it.
You know what? There's a moment when you're right in the heart of it and days feel a bit like weeks. For the rest of the time, I
can't deny, it's an amazing ride, and time flies by pretty fast.
Something I've been really curious about you, James, right? I've been desperate to ask you about this for a long time. Your friendship with Alan Shearer seems like an unlikely one. How did it come about? Because he's a mutual friend, right? And he talks about you all the time. Right. He's got a bit of a crush on you. I think he admires you.
He's a good bloke.
He'd like to be James Bay, I think, secretly.
It's sort of strange. All right, well, look, it's funny how that turns around, right? Because when I was a little kid, Shearer was it. He was the star striker. He was the greatest footballer in the world. And to myself and many others, he still is. He'd invited me up to watch a game and sit in this box with him. It was all very fancy and wonderful. And I was with my tour manager, who's a Geordie and a Newcastle fan and has seen Newcastle a lot of times. You know, Ross is he's a Newcastle fan because this is his home. He said, James, why are you a Newcastle fan? And he genuinely didn't know. And I said, you, mate. And he didn't see it coming.
How did he handle it?
He was not embarrassed, but he was a little bit...
Just raised one finger in the air.
Exactly. He blushed a little bit. And I felt a bit silly because I didn't want the whole thing. And I was just like, no, genuinely, like... You, me and my brother were really into football, and Shearer was it. He was the best footballer in the world.
He's a poor man, Ali McCoist, in all honesty. It leads me on to the question I ask all the artists that come in about Slash Gordon. It's a terrible book I'm writing about the most famous people you might have encountered in a bathroom and had an awkward conversation with. I'd imagine this will have happened to you. Ivor Neville was at the Brits, all these awards ceremonies. Have you got a Slash Gordon that I can add to the book, please?
Kind of, yeah. I did a photo shoot with David Bailey.
Wow.
Very famous, what fantastic, an honor, yeah. Incredible, you know, old now photographer, but by no means old in spirit. You know, we did this shoot and he's very antagonistic. The conversation is quite striking.
Yeah, punchy.
When you're punchy when you're doing the photo shoot. And what's fantastic, I couldn't help laughing. Like, and when we'd been doing the photo shoot, he asked a few nice questions. He asked about, you know, where I was from and all this sort of stuff. And I told him I'm from this little town, Hitchin, and he gave me this silly nickname of Hitch. He was calling me Hitch the whole time. Here, Hitch, look at the camera, look up, mate. Chin up, come on. And he called me all sorts of things. 20 minutes afterwards, he'd forgotten who I was. Very strange. 2 years later, I'm having a slash. And this little sort of Yoda-like man waddles in. And he comes right up almost into the same urinal.
Oh, close.
He said, hello, Hitch, you alright, mate? Like, after all these years. And I was like, oh, wow.
You'll take that. That's a great one. We'll add that to the book. Thanks very much, James. You've got some really exciting live days this year, right? Two of the best festivals you can play, Isle of Wight and Transmit. They will be very different, but both pretty special.
I'm sure.
Do you in any way alter your set for those two live shows?
Playing in Glasgow.
Yeah.
You don't muck about.
No.
You just don't muck about. So, and the Isle of Wight is a little bit more of it's a slightly more sort of delicate affair.
Yeah.
You know, but... I don't know. I will have that. I will bear that in mind going up to Transmit.
Yeah.
I will definitely bear that in mind. But like, I will just try and make it as exciting as an event as I can.
An exciting summer ahead. So all the festival days, then your own tour as well. March, April time.
Yes, and beyond.
And we've still got to hear the album title. You can't give us a clue, can you?
I can't yet.
Can you give us a hint, Hitch?
It's
called Hitch.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, tell me about it. No, I haven't really thought about how to hint at it, so I'm gonna keep it reserved.
Keep the surprise.
Keep some mystery, but it's coming.
James, thanks so much for coming and telling us all about Alan Shearer.
Of course.
David Bailey, really, really appreciate it. And best of luck this year. What an amazing year ahead.
Thank you. I'll see you again.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
A bit of news has been kicking around about the possible return of John Frusciante to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That'll get a lot of Chili's fans very excited, but let me tell you, I've had a look into this, and there is a tiny glimmer, a speculative hint, something could be in it, but a lot of water has to pass under the bridge until then, if you pardon the pun. It's a bit unfair as well on Josh Klinghoffer, who's been incredible in the band, and this shocked me. He's been in the band for nearly a decade now. There's nothing to suggest he's on his way. It all comes from a Chili's fan called Wesley Red Hot on Reddit, who claims to have Skyped Frusciante. So this Wesley character said, John said that destiny made him fall in love with other things that made him distance himself from a rock band. But in the end, one day he might come back. He just thinks it's still far from happening, but it's a possibility for one day. If that's true, it's incredible, but a big pinch of salt with this chili, if you ask me. Stranger things have happened, but it would be amazing if it did.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
And here's a little story that tickled me today. You might have seen this. A poll of 2,000 adults revealed that making a mixtape was the thing people missed most since the digital revolution swept in. Kind of understand that. The nostalgia was brilliant. If you had a cassette, it was great sort of doing all that meticulous stuff with tapes, recording a song, all that business. Anyway, putting photos into albums and recording films and TV shows using VHS tapes, they were second and third, which I think is total madness because it was a complete pain in the backside. Anyway, it does work both ways. More than half don't miss waiting in the post office to renew their car tax. Totally understand that. And a similar amount never yearn for the forgotten fax. A totally ridiculous and obsolete bit of technology that had a real heyday for about a year and a half. Anyway, I'd love to give you all 25, but there are too many to do tonight. Instead, I've picked five, right? One that is total nonsense and one that I'm lukewarm about. Another three I still do, which might just be me. Anyway, 11th on the list. Apparently, most of those people miss using public telephones. Now, that is absolute nonsense, because all you did was get in and it would stink. There'd be a horrible whiff of acrid urine, right? That's what it was all about. Don't miss that for a second. Number five on the list, right? The excitement of having photographs developed before you can see them. Kind of half agree with that. There was a bit of excitement about that, but there was also, I don't know if it's just me, a mixture of terrible fear as well. Somebody might have sabotaged them. There might be something in there that you didn't want other people to see. And there was always a knowing wink when you went and picked those pictures up. But anyway, that was from another time. 17th on the list, playing traditional board games or cards. Still do that. 23rd on the list, ringing the speaking clock. Still like to do that when I've had a drink. 24, trying on pairs of shoes on the high street. Am I the only person in the world that still does that? I think that's still something that people do. But anyway, going back to the first one on the list, right? Making mixtapes. It reminded me of the 90s. And one thing in my life that I'm really proud of was a mixtape I made in the 90s with all the B-sides that Oasis recorded. And it was passed around everybody in my school. And I remember about 7 years later getting in a car and somebody had my tape. And I was so angry about it, but also really proud that it stood the test of time. So I stand firm on that, totally agree. Making mixtapes is a magic that's almost been lost, but we've always got playlisting, haven't we? And Radio X.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
You might recall the hero's welcome Jeremy Corbyn got at Glastonbury's Pyramid Stage last year. In fact, all round the festival, all you could hear all weekend were chants of, oh, Jeremy Corbyn. Got really irritating. It was ringing out across the site for 3 days, but now it looks like the Labour Party are going to replicate the electric atmosphere surrounding Comrade Corbyn at the Somerset Festival by holding their very own music concert. Pause for thought there. The proposed name is Labour Live. Clever, clever. In London this year, a Labour spokesperson told my old newspaper colleagues at The Current Bun, we're exploring options for ways to continue to open up politics to a wider audience and spread Labour's message about how we can build a society that works for the many, not the few. A little look back at political history there. Really not sure how they would manage that though. It's not exactly something they would support, is it? An elitist guest list, or maybe you could go back to New Labour and D-Ream could headline. And where? And one other thing, where would John Prescott park all of his cars? Always a nightmare at festivals, isn't it? But he could always rely on his pal, Jeremy Corbyn could rely on his pal Stormzy. He could headline all three nights, but not quite sure how Jezza would cope with the burden he'd put on the economy with all the sickies the next day.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, remember this. That is Rick Astley. Special moment. So that was Rick Astley joining the Foo Fighters last year on tour. And David Grohl has been at it again. Foo Fighters delighted crowds at their Melbourne gig last Tuesday by inviting Weezer frontman Rivers Cuomo on stage to perform a Kiss cover. David Grohl chose their final Aussie date, which took place at the Etihad Stadium, to treat fans to something effing special, to use his words, which turns out was a cover of 1976 Kiss track Detroit Rock City. Get your ears around this. There you go, Rivers Cuomo from Weezer and Foo Fighters. It's not the only highlight of the Foo's tour down under. During their show in Brisbane, a fan managed to blag his way on stage to show off his guitar skills. I love this story. Joey McLennan attended a gig at Suncor Stadium last month and he held up a sign which read, "Can I play Monkey Wrench with you?" Didn't say please, which I thought was a bit naughty. Anyway, after being invited on stage, Joey went on to take Dave Grohl's guitar and attempted to blow everyone away with his showmanship. I'll let you be the judge of that. I've listened.
You actually know this song, right? Ladies and gentlemen, what's your name? Joey. Say hi, Joey.
Lots of running around. Don't know what you make of this. anyone who's played Guitar Hero, that's what it sounds like when it goes a bit wrong. Oh, it could have been so special, couldn't it? Alas. Fair play to Joey, though, for getting up there. Good man, brave boy. Imagine all the signs at the next Foo Fighters gig asking to get up on stage, and I'd imagine there'll be a few requests worse than playing the guitar. Here's the proper version of that song. This is Monkey Wrench on Radio X.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, I've heard some mad stuff over the years about overzealous security guards, right? But this Liam Gallagher story caught my eye. Parklife Festival, the one in Liam's hometown of Manchester, you might know it, they've been forced to ban potato peelers from the festival after they heard about fans saluting their hero with them. Of course they have. Now, the daft trend was spawned, as you all probably know, after a fan peeled a potato at one of Liam's London gigs last year. It was a wee cheeky nod towards Noel and a dig about him having a percussionist playing scissors. You remember the one? At the time, Liam tweeted, "To the peeler who peeled his little heart out, you, my friend, are truly out there, psychedelic even, as you were, King Parka Monkey." Anyway, but Parklife have given punters a pretty stern warning not to bring any handy kitchen tools. The festival boss, a chap called Sasha, told the Manchester Evening News, "We've been blown away by this week's launch and the demand for tickets." Of course you have. But even more blown away at how many people have asked to bring potato peelers for Liam's main stage performance. In case you're wondering, the answer is most definitely not. It's a very subtle way for the festival, for Parklife, to get the message across, but I'm not having it for a second that a single punter got in touch to ask. You don't write a letter if you want to take inflatable genitals to Glastonbury, do you? Or whether it'd be okay to bring some flares to the Stone Roses. It's all a wee bit suspicious to me.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Coming to the end of the evening show, which means it's story time. So get comfortable. Producer Vin, let's have some appropriate music, please. So, I played some Rolling Stones in 5 to 10 earlier, and it reminded me of one of my favourite Keith Richards stories. Doesn't that music sound perfect for Keith? This is genuine movies meets rock and roll history. Told the story a couple of times before, but still, I think it's a cracker. I'm friends with this artist, a brilliant bloke called Paul Carslake. He's from Southend-on-Sea in Essex. He's a great man, and his sister, Jo Carslake, a former PhD girl, was married to Ronnie Wood. You might know her better as Joe Wood. Anyway, Paul Carslake taught Ronnie Wood to paint, and years ago, through that connection, he decided to give his bandmate Keith Richards a gift. So Paul had always imagined Keith Richards as a pirate, so decided to do him up in full pirate clobber, the full regalia. Keith loved it so much he hung the painting in his dining room in Connecticut. Then one day, a young Johnny Depp came round for dinner, had his dinner, and he was looking up at this painting, and he had just been cast by Disney in a big movie called Pirates of the Caribbean. The penny dropped, Johnny Depp decided that was it. He would play Captain Jack Sparrow as if he was Keith Richards, and the rest is history. So there you go, that's the story behind it.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Thank you very much for listening to the Evening Show podcast. Really appreciate it. And if you'd be very kind and leave a review, me and Vin will give you a high five in the ether somewhere.
That's great. I'm doing it right now.
Right
Can
now.
You
high
feel
five.
It?
Thank you very much. Five stars.
Radio X.